Now, there may be a few of you in here that don't know my circumstances and coming to Beyond Grace, but a couple of years ago when we were at the other site over off of Maple, I started attending, and Pastor Wagner became aware of my interest in ministry, and he decided to mentor me and take me under his wing. So we decided to meet one day, and I came into his office, and I told him all about myself. And he told me a little about himself. The next week, we met again, and I thought, I'm going to impress this man. I'm going to impress him with all I know about the Bible and Christianity. I'm going to wow this man. And I talked, and I talked, and I talked, and I talked. And at the end of this very one-sided conversation, Pastor stared at me, looked at me, and well, I see a lot of people recognizing this look. And he looked at me and goes, Tom, if you want to go into ministry, the first thing you need to do is shut up. And then there were some other words after that, but now, over the course last couple of years, he has had to repeat that statement to me once or twice, 17, bordering around 25 times or so. But it's been a slow learning process for me, and I'm making some progress. So today, as I preach, I not only preach to you, but I'm preaching to myself. And to be honest with you, I need to hear this sermon more than I need to preach it. But to show you how much I really am preaching to myself today, I thought I would bring this up to you so it'd be an incentive for me that I am preaching to myself. You are so beautiful. Now, Chris, that's as far as I'm going on the singing for you today. Thought it'd be a tryout, but no. Anyway, this summer we have been studying the book of James. And what we've learned over the last 6 or 7 weeks is that the Bible is still relevant today as it was 2,000 years ago. In the last few weeks, we have learned about how to deal with trials and temptations and how to be more mature as Christians and how to treat people right. Today, we are going to look how to manage our mouths. You listening? All right. James writes about mouth management more than any other author in the Bible. In fact, when you study James, you realize that he talks about mouth management or taming your tongues in about every chapter he has. He mentions it twice in chapter 1, once in chapters 2, 4, and 5, and primarily dedicates all of chapter 3 to mouth management. So our scripture today is James 3, 1 through 12. Not many of you should presume to be teachers, my brothers, because you know that we who teach will be judged more strictly. We all stumble in many ways. If anyone is never at fault in what he says, he is a perfect man, able to keep his whole body in check. When we put bits into the mouths of horses to make them obey us, we can turn the whole animal. Or take ships, for example. Although they are so large and are driven by strong winds, they are steered by a very small rudder wherever the pilot wants to go. Likewise, the tongue is a smaller part of the body, but it makes great boasts. Consider what a great forest is set on fire by a small spark. The tongue is also a fire, a world of evil among the parts of the body. It corrupts the whole person, sets the whole course of his life on fire, and itself set on fire by hell. Verse 7, all kinds of animals, birds, reptiles, and creatures of the sea are being tamed and have been tamed by man. But no man can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil, full of deadly poison. With the tongue we praise our Lord and the Father, and with it we curse men who have been made in God's likeness. out of the same mouth come praising and cursing. My brothers, this should not be. Can both fresh water and salt water flow from the same spring? My brothers, can a fig tree bear olives or a grapevine bear figs? Neither can a salt spring produce fresh water. James is telling us that words we speak are very, very powerful. We all like to talk, some more than others, but in fact, we spend up to 20% of our lives just talking. We speak to 20 to 30,000 words a day, and some of those words are not so kind. The Bible refers directly or indirectly to our mouths and our speaking by being wicked, deceitful, lying, perverse, filthy, corrupt, bitter, angry, crafty, flattering, slanderous, gossiping, backbiting, blaspheming, foolish, boasting, murmuring, complaining, cursing, contentious, sensual, vile, storytelling, whispering, exaggerating, and so on, and so on, and so on. Our mouths can get us into a lot of trouble. The easiest way to sin is with our speech, and that is because we can say anything we want. Look at verse 2 in James 3:2. We all stumble in many ways. If anyone is never at fault at what he says, he is a perfect man, able to keep his whole body in check. What James is saying here is that if you can control the mouth, you will be perfect. Now, the Greek word for perfect here is not sinless. It means to be mature or more healthy. In other words, if we learn to manage our mouths, we will become more spiritually mature and spiritually healthy. Now, managing our mouths is very, very important. How important? Look at what Jesus says here in Matthew 12. But I tell you that men will have to give an account on the day of judgment for every careless word they have spoken. For by your words you will be acquitted, and by your words you will be condemned. Oops. We must be careful of what we say, and that is why Jesus is telling us in this passage that there will be an accounting for what we say. Now, here are three reasons why we need to manage our mouths. Number one, my words determine where I go. The words we speak have tremendous influence over our lives. James gives us a pair of illustrations in verse 3 and 4. When we put bits into the mouths of horses to make them obey us, we can turn the whole animal. Or take ships as an example. Although they are so large and are driven by strong winds, they are steered by a very small rudder wherever the pilot wants us to go. Now, many, many years ago, I used to love horse racing. I used to go to the track, and I gambled back in those days. And outside of the thrill I got out of watching my horse win place or show or come in last, most likely, I was always amazed by these powerful thoroughbreds, 2 to 3,000 pounds, being controlled by a little jockey that's about 95 to 100 pounds. When I found out how they actually were doing that is putting a little bit in their mouth right on top of their tongues. The bit lays right on top of their tongues, and the jockey can determine the direction the horse goes. Now, by controlling the horse, by this powerful horse, just by the control of its tongue, the horse can do anything that the jockey wants it to do. But without that bit, the horse would be useless. It would just go wherever it wants. An unbridled horse without a bit controlling its tongue is absolutely good for nothing except for just running around. And James is telling us that if we get control of our tongues, we can direct our entire bodies to a useful purpose. James also uses another illustration with ships. Although they are large and are driven by strong winds, they are steered by a very small rudder wherever the pilot wants to go. on a giant aircraft carrier, which is the size of some cities, moves through the sea by this little rudder. If you were to go to the steering bridge, you would see this man holding this little device, steering the ship wherever it wants to go. This giant mobile sea is being controlled by this steering engineer doing this. In fact, when he pulls it into dock, he can bring it in so precisely that it would never even touch the dock. Here's the point. Power applied at the right point is efficient to control the whole vessel. And power applied at the right point, being the mouth, is sufficient to control the whole person. Our words can determine the direction of our lives by the things we say to ourselves as well. What are you saying to yourself? What are you telling yourself in your mind? What are you telling other people about yourself? Are you creating prisons? Are you creating possibilities? Are you making excuses? Are you holding yourself accountable? Positive and honest self-talk will determine your direction in life. Our words can determine the direction of other people's lives as well. What do you say to your friends, your co-workers, your fellow church members, when you can encourage or discourage them from their life pursuits? What do you say to your spouse determines how your marriage will go. What do you say to your children will determine how they will grow up and which directions that they will go in. When it comes to our families, we often say things to them that we won't or can't say to anybody else. But those remarks can leave marks on the psyche of the individual for many, many years to come. Ask yourself this: are you building up or are you breaking up relationships by the words you use? James' other point is, control your tongue because of its power to control you. Now, not only do my words determine where I go, but my words destroy what I have. In verses 5 and 6, James writes, "Likewise, the tongue is a smaller part of the body, but it makes great boasts. Consider what a great forest is set on fire by a small spark. The tongue is also a fire, a world of evil among parts of the body. It corrupts the whole person, sets the whole course of his life on fire, and is itself set on fire by hell. It only takes a spark to get a fire going. A careless camper can destroy a forest in one night. Our words are extremely powerful instruments. Words can tear down people, tear down families, tear down churches. They can lead to war. They can lead to murder. In the last couple of months, I've seen dozens of examples of this. Every day you can turn on the news and see somebody opening up their mouths, destroying their lives, or creating such a firestorm of words because the media picks up on it, and all of a sudden we got a huge news story and somebody's life has been altered. One of the most noteworthy stories is of General Stanley McChrystal, who was our leader of American forces in Afghanistan. He made some comments in Rolling Stone magazine about President Obama and Vice President Biden. And an ensuing firestorm began, and he was recalled to come back to the United States and to the White House, which subsequently led to his resignation. Here was a man with an illustrious military career, and just because of some ill-chosen words, not carefully thought out words, this man's illustrious military career was over. And somewhat embarrassingly, think about the things you have said to people in your lives, to your parents, to family members, maybe somebody you look up to. I'm sure there are things that have stuck with them that they have said to you, and there's things that you have said to people that you kind of wish you could have taken back. Ask yourself, when you're talking to people, especially family members, when it comes to encouraging and discouraging, am I repeating history? Be careful what you say to your children, to your spouse, because those things will, he talks about a firestorm or a spark starting a fire. that fire can burn into the minds of our children and our spouses that can last for a long time. Our words determine where we go. They could destroy what you have. And thirdly, my words can display the distance between us and God. With the tongue we praise our Lord and Father, and with it we curse men who have been made in God's likeness. Out of the same mouth comes praise and cursing. My brothers, this should not be. Today we praise God, tomorrow we curse each other. It doesn't even take a whole day for that to change. We can spend this entire hour praising God. We're going to jump back into our cars and start arguing with each other about how we're going to spend the rest of our day. It's absolutely amazing how easily our words can change their tone. Out of our mouths comes duplicity and hypocrisy. The same mouth that praises God also curses those he made in his image, slanders them, criticizes them, accuses them, abuses them in anger and jealousy, and envy and hatred and bitterness. And there's no greater example in all of Scripture than that from the Apostle Peter. Hours prior to Jesus' arrest, Peter conveys to Jesus that even if all fall away on account of you, I never will. Even if I have to die with you, I will never disown you. Hours later, after the arrest of Jesus, and people were accusing Peter of being one of Jesus' disciples, I don't even know this man. He said it three times. This is Peter, an apostle, somebody who walked with Jesus, saw his miracles. Peter's denial of Jesus revealed a sinfulness that was still residing in him. His fear triumphed his faith. Jesus reminds us in Matthew, for out of the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks. Our mouths do not work independent from our hearts. Blessings and curses come out of all mouths. James ends this verse emphatically. This should not be. This should not be happening. Stop. James is, remember who this letter is written to. This is written to the church. This is a letter written to Christians. He is telling us, no, we shouldn't be doing this. We shouldn't be talking this way and then turning around talking this way. For months we have been talking about the transforming of our minds. Part of that is transforming our speech. And I have a story I want to share. A couple years ago, I went to work, and I was in somewhat of a nasty, really bad mood for some reason. And a coworker and dear friend of mine, Kara, and I were working together, and it was fairly busy, and she had no idea what was going on inside of me. Now, Kara and I kid each other pretty good, and most times we just laugh it off. She made a comment to me that I would have just brushed off and laughed at on any other day. But on this day, I wasn't in a joking mood. And she said something, and I quickly responded with words I cannot repeat in this place. I hurt Kara's feelings, and Kara's like a little sister to me. So this kind of bothered me, too. I hurt her feelings. She had to go in the back of the restaurant and cry. I looked at my boss, I said, can I go home? He thought that was a real good idea. And I kind of kicked myself around for it. I wasn't sure exactly why those words came out of my mouth. But what bothered me was is that I constantly felt like I boasted about my faith, professing to be a Christian. And the sudden outburst that came out of me just was contrary to what I'd been professing. I knew my heart still needed somewhat of a cleansing. I apologize the next day, and me and Kara are still great friends to this day. But it's a quick reminder to all of us that our mouths will always remind us that there's still some growing need to be done here. Slow to learn, far from having arrived. In the 45 years I've been on this planet, there's been a lot of garbage that's come right out of this mouth. And every time I slip up, I'm just reminded that I'm still a work in progress, as we all are. All by God's grace. So as you can see, what comes out of our mouths can be very powerful, influencing. They determine our direction. They can destroy what we have. They can display the distance between us and God. But you see, the big problem here is we really like to talk. Sooner or later, we're going to stumble. It has been said that pound for pound, the tongue is the strongest muscle in the body. In fact, if my arms and legs worked as much as my tongue did, I'd be like Arnold Schwarzenegger up here. But unfortunately, I don't use my other parts of my muscles in my body like my tongue. And let's face it, I don't have much control over it at times as much as I would like. So how do we manage our mouths? Using the acronym THINK, here are five questions I've come up with that we should ask ourselves to help manage our mouths. First question to ask yourself before you speak, is it true? Is what you're saying true? Or are you just gossiping? A bold-faced lie? A little white lie? A lie, sooner or later, will always be exposed. And once exposed, the teller of the lie is not to be considered trustworthy. There's a story of a store manager who goes up, who hears his store clerk telling the customer, "No, ma'am, we haven't had any for a while, and it doesn't look as if we'll be getting any soon." This horrified and angry manager comes running over to the customer and says, "Of course we'll have some soon. We placed an order last week." Then the manager drew the clerk aside and said, "Never, and I mean never, 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 say we are out of anything. Say we got it on order and it's coming." Now, what was it that lady wanted? "Rain," said the clerk. She was asking about rain. Lies hurt our witness as Christians, and they can really make us look like fools at times. The second question we must ask ourselves, is it helpful? Everyone enjoys a fitting reply. It is wonderful to say the right thing at the right time. Proverbs 15:23. We need to think and ask ourselves, is it good timing to say what I'm about to say? If I go back to James 1 and think about slow to speak, slow to anger. Why? Because so often we like to fly off the handle and we end up making matters worse with an angry outburst or some untimely or unnecessary words. We need to slow down and think about who will benefit from these words I'm about to say, them or me. So first we ask if it's true. Second, we ask if it's helpful. Third, we must ask, is it inspiring? Are my words inspiring? Are they encouraging? Am I building up this person? Is what I'm about to say going to motivate them to progress and to do good? William Arthur Ward once said, "Flatter me, and I may not believe you. Criticize me, and I may not like you. Ignore me, and I may not forgive you. Encourage me, I will never forget you." Think about the things you have accomplished in your life. Behind anyone's accomplishments, there is inspiration and encouragement. And we always remember those who inspire us. The fourth question we must ask ourselves, is it necessary? Do I really need to say this? Or am I just talking to hear the sound of my own voice? Listening. Ask yourself, what is my purpose in saying this? Does this add anything to the conversation? Or does it detract from it? And the last question we must ask ourselves, is it kind? Do you seriously want to help somebody? Sometimes we think telling the truth is just enough. Well, at least that is being truthful. Telling the truth without love or kindness is not truth. It's just mean. Kind words reveal a compassionate heart. There is a time for tough love and a time for kind words. When people are emotionally hurting and discouraged, a kind word can go a long ways. As Christians, we often forget about the importance in managing our mouths. How often what we say affects others. We forget, we are so conscious about how we act sometimes, we forget about what we say. We need to be more mindful of it. Last week, Pastor Doug brought up the question, who owns us? And our words are mindful of who owns us when we display the correct speech, choosing carefully the words we speak. Now we're halfway through this series on James. We're at week 7, we got 7 more weeks to go. And I just kind of want to recap and comment a little bit about what we've been studying. We've been studying and talking about the book of James as putting faith into action. James is just not about faith in action. It's actually more about faith in reaction. Our true faith comes, and our true heart is revealed how we react to events and circumstances. See, we're really good acting when all the conditions are perfectly. We know how to act like a Christian. We can go to church and look nice, and when everything's perfect, we know how to say the exact words and just behave. But what James is talking about is, how do you react when trials come? How do you react when temptation comes? How do you react when somebody's down on their luck? How do you react when it comes to displaying your faith at the time when somebody needs a kind word, a helping hand? How we react instinctively to events will reveal who owns us, whose image is upon us. Are they seeing us? Or are they seeing Christ? Now, we all know that there are 4 Gospels in the Bible. There's Matthew, there's Mark, there's Luke, and there's John. But I would like to suggest that there's a 5th Gospel, and that's us. Our lives are to be a display, a living display of the good news. And the most noticeable way to display the good news is by managing our mouths. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, today we ask for you to be the one that can bridle our tongues and be the influence in our speech through your word, through your Holy Spirit, through our fellowship with others, that our tongues do not injure or degrade anybody we come across, that our language and our speech is all to glorify you with the good news that you came to save us through your Son, Jesus Christ. That each and every day pass, that we take time to think, to know that these things are true and honest, with integrity, with hope and love and mercy. We thank you for this day, Lord. In your name, Son's name, Jesus. Amen.